I'm going to talk about a scripture that the Lord prompted me to talk to kind of listen to. I put it on audio and was listening the King James Version. It was in James, first and second chapter. And it was talking about, he brought me to the scripture that reads, faith basically without works is dead. Okay. And he means that. Faith without works, your faith is dead. And that to me is very powerful. And I'm going to try not to cry here. Okay. We've all been called to a destiny, every single one of us. And that destiny is to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and let everything about Him reign in your body. It's yours. It's yours. But it doesn't stop there. Your destiny is what is, you know, has been given to you. It is to give to others. It is not just for you. It is for, that's your destiny. Your destiny isn't just for you. Your destiny is to affect the world around you. But listen, I want you to know that our plans are not the same. Your destiny is the same, but your plan is going to be different. So don't, when you see maybe others doing things that you think you want to do, you just know that your destiny, your plan may be different, and don't despise the plan. Embrace the destiny, because that's who you are, is to live the life of Jesus through you.
So good. So good. Praise God. He's got a plan and a destiny for each and every one of us. And it's amazing, and it's good. It's an amazing destiny, an amazing plan. But you know what? You'll never experience that just by sitting every week, you know, and just saying, okay, one of these days, hopefully, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to take over and just cause me to be a puppet and to go out and to do stuff. Nope, you actually have to take a step. Take what you believe, and let what you believe empower you to move out. And to step into what God has called you to do. Faith without works is dead. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a bit. Romans chapter 8, check this out. Verse 29, I was talking about this over in our LOF Connect class. And I just love this. For whom he did foreknow. Now he's talking about Jesus here. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So you get a picture that God, whom God knew before the earth began in the form of the living Word. Why? Because John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in verse, I think 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And so here he said, whom he did foreknow, the Word of God, then he also predestinated him to be conformed into the image of his Son. Okay? This is talking about Jesus. For this purpose, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he started off making Jesus the firstborn conformed to his image. And then he does this transition between verses 29 and verse 30. He says that we might be the first, or that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now he's talking about us. Okay, say he's talking about me. Let's look at the next verse. Moreover, whom, say he's talking about me. Okay, so now we're not talking about Jesus, now we're talking about us. Those that he did predestinate, he predestinated you. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Them, see, that's how I know he's talking about me. Now he's talking plural. Them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All right, so first of all, you have a destiny. Let's not get hung up on this predestination for a moment, because there are different people that'll say that some are predestined to be saved, some are predestined not to be saved. And so the predestination is all about that everything that happens, God causes to happen or God allows to happen because it's some part of His divine will. And there's the illusion that we have choice, but in reality, we don't have choice, because whatever happens in my life, God wanted it to happen. I should do a whole Mythbuster series on that one topic right there. That God is sovereign, and what's happening in your life happened because God is sovereign and He's allowed it to happen. I saw a post one time from a teenager that got pregnant while she was in school, before she was married. And so she said, you know, God allowed this to happen. No. You had sex with somebody and you made the choice and then it happened. Don't blame your sin on God's sovereignty. God did create a destiny for all of us. Let me show this to you. Hold your finger here and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. God gets blamed for a lot of things that either the devil's done or that we've done, and somehow we've allowed it to filter into a wrong theology. The Bible never says that He does these things. In verse 3 of Ephesians 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." If I'm going to talk about God, I'm going to talk about the good things that He's done and the good things that He's provided me and the things that He's made available to me. And I want to walk in these things. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's already done did it. That's my good Alabama English. He's done did it. Come on. He's already blessed me. According, verse 4, as He has chosen us in Him. Man, we make the gospel so many times about what we can do for Him, when the gospel's about what He did for us. And when we receive what He has done for us, we step into what we can do for Him. Amen. But it starts with an understanding of how loved we are. It starts with an understanding of how good He is. And so He's chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's already chosen us to be. And so then it goes in verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. His destiny for every human being is to be adopted and to become part of the family. There's another scripture that says it is the will of God that every person be saved. Now, here's the question. Is every person saved? No. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. But then it says, so we implore you, be reconciled to God. In other words, even though that God did everything in Jesus Christ, made everything that is available to us in Jesus Christ, that we still have the responsibility to respond in faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that you are saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. In other words, what we do doesn't determine our salvation. We cannot please God. I know this is very foundational, but I feel that we just need to talk about these things for a few minutes. That what we do doesn't please God, but what we are willing to believe concerning God and what He's done for us. Amen. Get that again. I don't know that I said exactly right, but it's not what I do that determines who I am. It's not what I do that determines God's pleasure with me. It's not what I do that determines how God accepts me. Okay? It is, and it's not just what I believe in Jesus that determines who I am. It's what I believe about God and what I believe about Jesus and what I believe that He has done for me and what I believe in who He has created me to be and what I believe in what He has already made me to be and what I believe in as far as what He's already chosen me and what He's already predestinated to me. In other words, the level in which I'm willing to believe in God's goodness to me, in God's love to me, and what God has given me and what God has created for me is when I'll begin to walk in those things. It's not in me trying to achieve something. It's me all about believing that. And it says in verse 7, I believe it is, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that in the ages to come, Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, He did all of this for this purpose, that in the ages to come, He might show unto us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, the gospel isn't about what we do for God. The gospel is about what He's done for us that now empowers us to live His life. Woo! You are empowered for others. You are empowered to live a life that is extraordinary. You are empowered to experience His joy, to experience His grace, to experience His love. He's the one that created the destiny for you. Now, I need to respond to that destiny by saying, yes, Lord. Or either I can determine my own destiny. I can step into my plans for my life, and that's not God's destiny for you. So there's a path. Many of us that have children, we have plans for our children, and we want our children. We've predestined. Some of us have saved up. Some of you have saved up for their college. You've been making a plan, saving up, because you have good thoughts towards your children. You have a good plan for their destiny. You want them to experience the best life and maybe not go through the hardship that you had to go through. And so you save up and you save up and you save up, and there it is. And so they graduate from high school and they come to you and they say, you know what? I don't want to go to college. Yeah, but we've already got it saved up. We're paid for it. You know what? I just don't want to do that. And so they decide just to go into the workforce, not go to college, you know, going through the difficulty, going through the hardship. You, as a parent, you see that and you hurt for them, but they made the choice. You had a destiny, but they chose a different destiny. Well, it's not like that with the Father God. He predestined. He has a destiny for you. Go back to Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5. Just felt like it was important to make the distinction here because this is so important. Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He's so pleased with being able to create this destiny for you. Go back to Romans chapter 8 now, and let's look at this. So in verse 30, Romans chapter 8, verse 30, moreover, those that He did predestine. Say, He gave me a destiny. Say that. He gave me a destiny. Them He also called. Now He's talking about people that He knew. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He's given you a destiny. Them He also called. And then those that He called, He also justified. And those that He justified, He also glorified. And He's talking about us to being conformed to the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says that as we look to Him, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, as we see Jesus, that we're changed into that same image by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. That's the life we get to live. That today, wherever you are in your life today, that there's more for you to experience from God tomorrow. And then next year, there's more for you to experience from God next year. And there's more that that your life is a discovery process of the good that God has for you. Now, that empowers you to now also be an expression of that to other people. Let's go through this progression here. God, first of all, gave you a destiny. And that destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's not just a destiny for some, that's a destiny for all. Go back to verse 29. Let's go back to verse 29, guys. Let me show it to you. Whom he foreknew, Jesus, he also predestined before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many. He was the first one to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, when you believe in Christ, and remember what I said last week, that word in the Greek has motion with it, that you believe into Christ. You're believing yourself. You were in darkness. You believe yourself straight into him, and you're baptized into Jesus Christ. You are in him. You're consumed by him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. And the Bible says over in Galatians chapter 3, they that put on Christ, those that are in Christ also put on Christ. Amen. Right? So we are to be conformed to that same image, that we are to be filled with the fullness of God. I don't have time to go through all these scriptures, but you got to know this destiny is for you. Now go back to verse 30. So those that he predestined had to just wake up one day and try to figure it out on their own. No, it doesn't say that. Had to stumble across it one day and just trip into their destiny. No. God, he is so good. He created the destiny.
That's right.
He saved up the money for our college fund, if you will. He's the one that already put it all in place, made sure our destiny was already taken care of, make sure provision was already there, make sure I wouldn't have to work at it, make sure I wouldn't have to go through hard times, made sure that I wouldn't have to struggle, made sure I could have peace. He already put peace. He put joy. He put life. He put healing. He put prosperity. He put everything that I need right there in the person of Jesus Christ. And the moment that I believed into him, I stepped into that destiny. Glory to God. I'm telling you. And so after he already prepared it all and made sure it was taken care of and make sure that Jesus took all of my judgment and that Jesus was raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, the enemy defeated, I'm telling you what he did. Look, it's just like what he did with Adam and Eve. He created, he prepared this earth, and then he made a special place, a garden, made all these trees to come up, all the animals were there, everything that they needed. He didn't wait, and that nothing was incomplete. It was all finished in the moment that it was. And he said, it isn't just good. It is very good. Now that it's all good, let me just make this man. And he took the moment to handcraft a human. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. Everything else he spoke into being. But this, it says that he formed out of the dust of the ground. Creation was made for us, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And the moment that Adam opened his eyes, he awoke into the finished work of what God had already prepared for him. He didn't have to go looking for it. God placed him. He took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden. Everything finished. Everything already prepared for him. And then you know what they did. Adam and Eve fell, and sin entered in, and death entered in, and this world began to fade and become corrupt and all of that. And so what happened is he said, we're going to do this again, but we're going to do it differently. And so he took another man who's called the last Adam, and his name is Jesus. And he said, I need you to redeem them. I need you to create. Let's create a new world for them. Let's create a new destiny for them. Let's create a new freedom for them. Let's do this again. Let's create a new garden for them. Let's create a new tree of life for them. You're going to have to be the first one, Jesus. You're the last Adam, but you're going to be the first one. That's why he's called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whoo! Come on. And Jesus walked our walk, died our death. He lived our life, died our death, and then was raised from the dead. And when he did, and when he opened those eyes on that third day, he awoke to the new creation of God. He awoke to new realms of the Spirit. He awoke with death having been defeated. He awoke with sin having been obliterated. He awoke with the curse not on him anymore. It said once he died to death, he died to it once, never to be controlled by it again. And so when he woke up in the new Eden of God, in the new garden of God, reigning king forever, in a regained authority forever. He woke up into that and into the finished work of what God had done through him. Now, the moment that I believe, I mean, now that that's happened, man, God calls you and me. God calls you and me. Eddie, you have a destiny. Amen. Cynthia, you have a destiny. He calls you. He calls you into that destiny. He calls you. Jamie, you have a destiny. Come into what I've called you to be. Jesus is the forerunner. Jesus is the captain. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the one that did it all. And now when you believe into him, you're answering the call to your destiny to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Everything was prepared for you. Everything was prepared for you. In him. Amen. And when I'm in him, I get to receive from him everything that I need for my life right now. And so he called you. Come, come, come. And the Spirit cries out. And the Spirit is going out into all the earth today, calling people into their destiny. And part of that call, child of God, listen to me, part of that call comes through you. Part of that call, you need to be part of the call of God to somebody else. We're waiting for some spooky supernatural manifestation that one day somebody's going to wake up and hear the call of God. No, you are his voice in the earth. You need to be telling people about their destiny. To be adopted by Jesus, to be adopted into the family, to be set free from sin, disease, darkness, death, to be set free from those things. You are the light of the world. He's empowered you. That's why I say you got the goods. You have in you everything that you need. See, he's called us. Pull that scripture back up. And those that he predestined, them he also called. And those that he called, he also justified. What does that mean? Well, it means this. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know all the scripture to tell people. God never told you to tell people other scripture. God never said that. God said to witness. Yes. What is a witness? What is a witness? A witness is somebody who has seen something, who has experienced something. See, you know, we've got to watch that being expressed with this confirmation hearing, you know, and what they were looking for were witnesses to corroborate other testimony. And it couldn't have been hearsay. They were looking for, and so we saw it all on display, and there weren't. And so you know, a witness. So they couldn't just say, well, somebody told me this. No, a witness is somebody that experiences. All you need to do is you need to tell other people about the God who has changed your life. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be a witness. You receive it to impact. You're empowered now to set other people free. The same Father God that set you free has now empowered you to set other people free. Amen. You are part of the call of God to call people into their destiny. And you have everything that you need to do that right now.
Amen.
Now look at this. Them he also called. Those he also justified. What does that mean? Well, I don't have what I need. I don't know the scripture. I sinned. I have problems. I have issues. I've made mistakes. Anybody who has not made a mistake, please raise their hand. Anybody? Okay. Do you know the Bible? Do you know how much of the Bible was written by murderers? Moses murdered a man before he was ever called into his destiny. David, in the middle of his destiny, was responsible for the murder of a man. Paul murdered Christians and wrote most of the New Testament. So anytime you think you are disqualified to be a witness to God, just look at the people that wrote the Bible. God didn't use perfect people. That means there is hope for me. God preached the gospel through a donkey one time. Means there's hope for me. Praise God. I can at least be a donkey. Amen. No, he justified you. What does that mean? He took care of all your mistakes. Jesus took your judgment. God made you righteous. He cleaned you up. He cleaned you up. He made you fit to be part of the kingdom of God. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. God took care of all of that. So not only did he call you into your destiny, he's also equipped you for your destiny.
Amen.
He's the one that's doing it. And then finally, those that he justified, he glorified. He glorified. What does that mean? It means that now we are to... we are to express him in every way. We are to put God on display in our lives. We are his glory. That's a strong statement, but you are the glory of the Father. You, as you walk, as you talk, as you live, as you connect with others, you are God, Jesus, on display in the earth today. And God will be glorified through you.
Amen.
Final scripture. Turn with me over to, I believe it's 1 Peter. I want you to leave this place so sure of who God has created you to be. You are created for good works. You are created, and we're created in Christ Jesus for these things. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. You are, and again, this is God's declaration about who you are. Okay, so this is about, say, this is about me. You are a chosen generation. What does that mean? He chose you.
Amen.
And you said yes to the call. And said, yes, I accept being chosen. He handpicked you from the beginning of the world. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists don't make up the priesthood. All of us now are part of the royal priesthood. Why? We are in Christ, who is the great high priest. And so we express that. And what was part of the role of the priesthood? Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Lord, for just showing that to me just now. This is awesome. I almost tripped right off the stage. The priesthood was the... let's see, how do I say this? The priesthood was the mediator between God and man. The priesthood stood between sinful man and a holy God. Jesus now is that mediator between God and man, and he broke down that wall of partition. Well, we're in Jesus. And as a royal priesthood, we represent God to people. See, we're now fulfilling that part of Jesus's ministry here on the earth. The priest would talk to the people about God, would represent God to people, would represent man back to God. But we are to show, we are to express God. He glorifies himself through us to others. We are a peculiar people. That means simply we are choice USDA approved, made clean, made perfect. You know, it's not that, no, peculiar doesn't mean weird in this case. Yeah, that is a peculiar person. No, that's not what he's talking about. It just means that we're choice. We are God's best. Say, I am God's best. Some of you have problems saying that. Say it again. I am God's best. Now, some of you just thought, well, if I'm God's best, then we're this world is messed up. No. See, because you see how we come from a wrong mindset? This is what's being said about me. I'm chosen by God. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm choice. I'm God's best. I'm a peculiar people. And it says this, that we should show forth. For the purpose of showing forth, demonstrating, declaring, expressing the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're powerful. You're powerful. You're God's expression of the finished work of Jesus Christ here on the earth. Isn't that amazing? What's our job? To believe that. Amen. Our job's to believe that. It's to receive that. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you're the one that chose us before the foundation of the world. Father, you're the one that gave us a destiny. When we were going our own way, when we didn't care about you, we thank you, Father, for giving us a destiny right now. Before we were ever a thought in somebody's mind, Father, we thank you that you chose us to be in you. Not only did you give us a destiny, then, Father, you called us into that destiny. Father, you justified us, cleaned us up, qualified us for that destiny. Father, so that you would have glory through us and that we would be your glory here on the earth to others. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we say yes to the call to walk in your destiny. As I pray this, just pray it with me in your heart. Yes to the call. Father, I acknowledge through the blood of Jesus Christ that I have been justified. I've been made righteous. I've been cleansed. That the old has passed away and the new has come. Now, no longer identify myself based on what I've done and based on who I was, but based on now who I am through Jesus Christ and what you've declared about me. And I'll not let self-condemnation come in, but I'll walk in the reality of the freedom that I have in you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then, Father, out of that, I say yes to allowing you to be glorified through me, to being light to the world, salt to the earth, and to show forth and to declare and to demonstrate your praises, your goodness, your life. Father, I'll be one of those that helps be the voice of the call, to help call others into their destiny that you have for them, to help call others into that destiny to be justified by you, to help others come into this place that they can also express you here in the earth, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for boldness right now in Jesus' name. The doubt and confusion and a timid and a fearful spirit gone in the name of Jesus, but you've given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we have everything that we need through Jesus Christ to be effective witnesses and to step into and to live out the destiny that you have for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah.